We've been talking in a series called Let's Celebrate and the importance of celebrating. And today specifically, we're going to talk about celebrating each new day. Because I believe there's something we can celebrate every single day according to God's Word. Now in the Bible, it talks about celebrating all over the place. And celebrating in the Bible involved eating together, music, singing, dancing, praising, shouting, and honoring others, and of course, all of it with a lot of great joy. So joy should be a part of what we do and who we are. Church should not be boring. It should be a place where you can be loud, where you can be joyful. All right, that's good. There's a couple people like, yeah, and there's a couple other people like, oh no, I don't want to be loud. But it's all right, because you and I need to, I believe, have a heart of celebrating and being joyful. You see, God put us here on this earth and he gave us a life that he wants us to live abundantly. And I believe to live abundantly, there has to be some joy. I've never met someone who is unable to be joyful who would say that they're glad to be alive, or, you know, like life is great. It's not the case, but someone who's really joyful and who's able to celebrate is usually in a spot where they feel like, hey, life's worth living. But let me not get ahead of myself. Let's get into some ways we can celebrate the new day. Psalm 118:24 is the verse, kind of our key verse. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You see, the God we serve made today. He made yesterday. He's going to make tomorrow. Unless he calls us home or tomorrow, we don't see. But he creates each new day. And he wants us to rejoice, to celebrate in it, to find something worth celebrating. Now, the first thing I believe that we can celebrate every new day is just the fact that he created it. You see, his creation is amazing. The creation that God made, you and I should be able to say, yes, this is so good. Look around you and see what he's made. In Genesis 1:31, it said, God looked over all that he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and the morning came, marking the sixth day. You see, in 6 days, God made everything around us. And he saw it, and he said, it is good. Not just good, very good. You see, the creation he made, if God himself says it is very good, then it is more than just a little bit good. It is really good. So this is a day we can rejoice in because he created it amazing. You see, God made this creation and then he put humans in it to look after it and to enjoy it. You see, God didn't just make creation and put us here to just go through life just surviving. Oh, yay, I paid the bills, I went to work, oh, yay, let's do it again. That's actually not how he made this. We've turned it into that in some ways. You know, oh, yay, I did my first job. I'll eat something and go to my second job. Oh, yay, I'll sleep for 5 hours. I'll do it all. Oh, this is fun. He didn't create it to be that way. Do you know that? Well, then you're like, well, why is it that way? Like, well, maybe we bought too big of a house, too new of a car. We're paying for stuff that we don't need. Oh, boy, it just got really quiet in here. I need that new camping trailer. It's summer. No, you don't. Oh, you could use a tent. Maybe not on May Long Weekend, because sometimes it snows on May Long Weekend. But hey, do you understand that sometimes we create something that we're in that he didn't create? You guys are way too quiet. I got to change this up. His creation is worth celebrating, okay? That's where I was. His creation is worth celebrating. So how do you celebrate it? When you wake up in a brand new day, you can get up and you can say to yourself, this is the day he made. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to think of the potential in this day. You see, God can do anything. It is amazing what he has planned for you if you'll believe it. Or you can start your day with, oh, I got to go to my stupid job. I've never said that. I'm a pastor here. I'm not allowed to say that. Okay, I may have in the past at other workplaces. I get it. But when you begin your day, rather than rejoicing and being glad in it, if you begin it with that attitude, you're guaranteed you're going to have a miserable day. Because your heart and your attitude looks for what is not going to work. About the young people who go to school. Oh yeah, I got to go to school. This subject is my worst teacher. Oh. Man, you are setting yourself up for a really bad morning. Why not thank you, Lord? I am awake. I'm alive. You gave me a brain. And I get to go to school to learn something. Did you know there's countries where people wish they could go to school? There's countries where people are too poor to go to school, and so they have to find ways, and sometimes unhealthy ways, so that they can get money to get to school. And you and I are blessed. Think of that. I know it's hard if you're a young person, you're like, oh man, do they sleep in every morning? No. Why not wake up with an attitude that says, I choose to celebrate this day? Maybe you're a morning person, maybe you're not. How many are morning people here? That really surprises me. We got a lot of morning people. I guess that's why you come to the Sunday morning service. Morning people. I'm not actually a morning person. Morning for me, I mean, I get up at a decent hour and stuff because that's what you do, but it takes me a while to wake up. It's got to be the coffee, you know, it's like, whew. So I'm not a morning person, but I realize that if you choose to get up and begin quoting God's word, begin with speaking something great about your day, if you've woke up and your thoughts are all going downhill, you can stop them by using words. Did you know that? Maybe your thoughts are just like, stop it by using words and say, this is a brand new day, God made it, and it's going to be good. And then walk over and get that cup of coffee and say it again. This is a good day. This is the day God has made, and it's going to be joyful. If you choose to do that, your day will be different. And so we can celebrate what he has created because he made it, and he made it very good. I was thinking about this. My teenage daughters right now, they have this thing where they love to picture the sunset. Do you know we have some amazing sunsets in Slave Lake? It's obviously because of the lake and that vast flat area, but amazing sunsets. And my 14-year-old daughter, let's go driving, Dad, because it's getting close to sunset. And the other day, we were driving down a back road, and you know, there's semis on the road. We're driving, we come around a corner, and she just stops in the middle of the road, gets her phone out, and she's picturing the sunset. I thought it was pretty cool, but I did tell her, you know, next time you might want to pull to the edge in case the semi comes. But young people are enjoying creation right now. I know it's so you can put it on Snapchat or wherever, but it's awesome, the creation that he's given us. Are we taking notice of it? Are we seeing it and realizing how good it is? Or are we just passing it by? Are we got our heads down thinking about our situation and missing out on something amazing that he made for us to enjoy? I hope not. If life is too busy and too hectic to celebrate what God created, it's too busy, stop it. There's only one person that can slow your life down, it's you. That's it. You. I know sometimes people have gotten in a position and there's almost a fear of, well, what happens if I don't? You know, if I slow down, and there's like this fear of, if I can't pay for this lifestyle that I've chosen. Don't be afraid to slow down. If it's making you depressed and hate life, you have a choice to make, and that choice would be, well, I guess I'm taking this vehicle back, or I guess I'm changing this. Make good choices for yourself. God wants you to enjoy life. Psalm 104, Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both large and small. The creation he made all around us, the animals, the oceans teeming with fish, or Lesser Slave Lake, Fishing season is open, by the way, in case you didn't know. You got to get your fishing license. There's fish. My daughter made sure I got my fishing license right away this year. Because last year I kept saying, yeah, I'm going to get it. And it took me forever. She wants to go fishing with Dad. Why? To enjoy what God has made. To stop the busyness sometimes and get out there and enjoy his creation. It's a great creation he made. Isaiah 42:5, this is what the Lord God says, the creator of the heavens who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. We sang the song earlier, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. That's what it's talking about. The very breath we have is from him. The life that flows in our veins is from him. Now that's worth celebrating. When you wake up on a brand new day, you can wake up and say, I'm breathing. Thank you, God. I'm alive. Thank you, God. It's a brand new day. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says this, by faith, by believing God, we know that the worlds and the stars, in fact, all things were made at God's command, and they were all made from things that can't be seen. What an amazing thing to celebrate. God, everything here, this entire creation, you spoke it into being from nothing. And you did it, why? He made creation, and you can read scripture, he made it for himself, but he also made it for us. Because he made it and then he put us in it. And he said he put us in it to look after it and to enjoy it. When I think of that, I think, what a good God. Parents, it's like you making your backyard really good because you got little kids and you put a swing set and a sandbox and you make it for them to enjoy. They're like, make sure and put your toys away and look after it. But your whole purpose was why? So they could enjoy it, right? You don't have a backyard with sting nettles and nowhere for your kids to go. If you do, you're too busy. But the God we serve, he said, oh, I'm going to make this awesome. And I'm going to put them there to enjoy it. Think about it, parents. Would you make your backyard in a way that, well, I hope my kids hate life back there. I hope they just hate it back there so they can learn to be tough. No, of course you don't. You set up that playroom for the little girls with the dolls and the little kitchenette. Anybody here had a kitchenette? A little play area? Sure you did. What happened? Your parents put out some money. They wanted you to play. And maybe you didn't have money for a kitchenette. Well, you had a space somewhere where you could play in the mud and make mud pies. Every dad at some point has had his little girl come and say, have some mud pie. You're like, you pretend. We want our kids to enjoy what we've built in a sense. Well, our Heavenly Father does the same thing. So let's enjoy it. Let's celebrate it. Let's not get in our heads and in our stuff and in our phones and in the politics and the news of the day to the point where we can't even wake up and enjoy. If you haven't celebrated for a while, I want to tell you what to do. Shut off the TV, put down the phone, change where you're at, and go out and say, thank you, God, for what you made. You know what? You live in northern Alberta. Lesser Slave Lake is right here. If you've never fished, get a fishing license just so it makes you get out of your head and get out in nature. Boy, that's some preaching right there. You're like, well, you like fishing. Yeah, I do. But I don't like fishing because I catch fish. I mean, you got to throw most of them back anyhow nowadays. You can't keep the pike, so you just catch them for the fun of it. But getting out there with people you love and care about, and you're shutting off everything else. We need to sometimes just get out to what God made and say, thank you. Now, obviously, it's summer coming, and as your pastor, I'm going to say this right away. Don't just miss church to go camping, because then you're missing the point. When you celebrate him, it makes all the more reason to come with others and glorify him for what he's made. And I'll say this right now so you know, we are 100% okay with people coming to church, smelling like campfire smoke and bug spray, okay? If you're camping close enough, you just come, we don't mind. Worship him and go back to camping. You know, we have a massive campground, a couple campgrounds in the area, and often we will see people come from the campgrounds to come to church. Because wherever they're from, they drove up to Slave Lake and they're like, I wonder where a church is on Sundays. Because guess what? He's worthy of the praise and the honor as we celebrate his creation. Colossians 1:16, for through him, talking about Jesus, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdom, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. Listen to this. And he holds all creation together. Woo! You wake up every morning, you're like, thank you, Lord, you are still holding it together. This old world didn't blow up. It's still spinning. Thank you, Lord, it is in your hands. If you're a believer, you are in his hands. He hasn't fallen asleep. He hasn't decided he no longer cares about his people or his creation. It's in his hands. Wake up and say, Lord, thank you. This is in your hands. A little Sunday school song got it right. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He does. And he's got you and me right there. When you wake up to that new day and you want to find something to celebrate, that's worth celebrating. You're like, man, everything else in my life is going crazy. Thank you, Lord, you don't go crazy. You still got this. You don't change. And thank him that he's got it, holding it together. You see that moon spins around this earth. This earth spins on its axis. The solar systems all continue to go. The sun continues to warm the earth. Everything continues to work because it's in his hands. Don't ever wake up afraid and fearful because you know he's got this and he's got you. You see, we can celebrate his creation and we can come together and we can worship him. It should make us want to celebrate and praise him even more as we see creation. You know, I read an article this week as I was preparing, and the article was titled, Why You Should Celebrate Everything. And it says this, these moments of celebration make us pause and be mindful, and that boosts our well-being. According to social psychology researcher Fred Bryan and others, when we stop to savor the good stuff, we buffer ourselves against the bad and build resilience. And even mini celebrations can plump up positive emotions, which makes it easier to manage the daily challenges that cause major stress. When we have something to look forward to or look ahead to something worth celebrating, we're more optimistic. In other words, celebrating is good medicine. It keeps you from being depressed. Celebrating matters. If you meet someone who is extremely discouraged and depressed, they probably can't tell you the last time they celebrated. I can almost bet if you asked, when did you last celebrate? They probably can't tell you. Because celebrating is something you choose to do, and it's good for you. Here's another article said this. A number of studies have found that celebrating brings significant benefits, including improved physical health, better coping strategies. People who take time to reflect on and celebrate their successes are generally more optimistic, take better care of themselves, and tend to be less stressed. Celebrations increase people's sense of well-being, regardless of their socioeconomic factors, their education, their age, or gender. In other words, celebrating is good for you. Celebrating is good for us. Now, when I preach this message, I'm preaching for me as well, because celebrating isn't something I'm really good at, but I know it's important. And as I lead our church, I don't want you to become just like me and be all serious all the time. I want you to celebrate and enjoy, and I also want to be able to celebrate the things in my life and in our family's life and in our church life, there's always something to celebrate. Always. You see, so many things, whether big or small, are worth us taking time to celebrate. You see, we can celebrate the creation he's made. We can also celebrate the health and the life that he brings us each and every day. Acts 17:27 says this, God has done all this so that we will look for him and reach out and find him. He isn't far from any of us. And he gives us the power to live, to move, and to be who we are. We are his children, just as some of your poets have said. You see, we live, move, and have our being because of him. You see, he brings us health, he brings us life, and we get to walk in it. We can celebrate this. When you wake up in the morning, do a couple stretches and be like, thank you, Lord, I can move still. You made it possible. We live, we move because of him. You see, he is a God who wants us healthy and well. Exodus 15:26 says this. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. You can wake up every morning and declare, Lord, I thank you, you heal me. Doesn't matter what pain you have, doesn't matter what you're feeling or going through, you can say, thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. And it's worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating even if you're a little bit sick and don't feel well. Did you know that? You can celebrate that he already paid the price and that he said this for you. And when you do that, it's actually an act of faith. And I believe it brings healing. Jesus himself said that he came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Can you say this morning that you are living an abundant life? That's what he wants for you. By abundant life, you're able to have joy. You have friends. You have a reason, a purpose. You have your health. See, abundant life is not simply about how much finance you have, but it's about the whole picture of life that God wants for you. If you're here today and you're like, I feel kind of lonely sometimes, I want to encourage you, get in a life group. Connect with others here in your church. Begin to grow and have others that can pray with you and for you because you're connected. Celebrating the abundant day, celebrating the little things. Often when we think celebration, we think, well, yeah, all those big events, right? But what about celebrating, finding something every day, no matter how little, and doing a small celebration? So what does that look like? Here's what you need to know. You don't need decorations or presents to have a great moment. Just do these three things, according to the article. Notice the moment. The first thing you have to do is actually pause long enough to notice what's worth celebrating. Did your kids accomplish something great? Have they done something they don't usually do? Your teenager cleaned their room and you didn't even ask them. You might want to throw a party for that. I'm just saying. You can find things to celebrate. And they said, so notice the moment. What is it that's good? What's been achieved? Notice what is working and you'll find something to celebrate. The second thing, move out of your routine and set the scene. To actually celebrate, you need to stop what you're doing and get out of it and notice that moment. You see, if you just continue on and just say it, but don't actually switch from your routine, it's not memorable. So this is what they say. Go to a special place in your home or a beautiful location outside. Give your attention to the moment of goodness or achievement. Whatever you celebrate, set the moment apart by stepping out of your routine for just a few minutes. Interesting, do you guys know that the photo booths that we put up here are really moments to celebrate your family, aren't they? Or your friends? You step out of routine, you go to that photo booth, you make a memory. It was Mother's Day, or it was Easter, whatever it was. These are little moments to celebrate. I see families do it whether there's a photo booth or not sometimes. Let's get over here. Come on. We all made it here at the same day. Taking that photo, and it's a moment to remember. And of course, that was the last point. Take some action, whatever that action would be. Taking a photo, giving high fives, lighting a candle, doing a little victory dance. Anybody here do victory dances? Oh, I got a couple people. I don't really, but you know, maybe I do when nobody's looking, but there's something awesome about taking out the moment and saying, this is worth getting excited about. I remember a number of years ago, we took a trip to California as a family, and we took some youth with us. It was the early 2000s, so a lot of years ago. And we didn't have a lot of money, but we were headed to California. There was a wedding down there, and we were going to do some ministry and some sightseeing. It was going to be great. But we were going to take a bunch of people with us, so we borrowed a van, a 15-passenger van, and it was a 1983 Dodge. And we only had enough money for gas, so it was not allowed to break down. Just saying. And so we headed down to California, and I'm going to make the story pretty short because there's a point I want to get. We headed down. We made it. We came back, and we crossed over the border from the States into southern BC. And as I said, it was an older van, and somewhere in that trip on the freeway in the States, the door was rattling, and I was like, that door's really rattling, dear. You better open. She opened that door, and she slammed it shut. You know, you got to slam those old Dodge doors pretty hard. And then a little farther into BC, like a number of kilometers, a couple hours down the way, I hear this bang, 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 bang in the back. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good. We better pull over. We pulled over at the next driveway, and I'm looking at the tires because it sounded like tires. I couldn't see anything at first, and then I crawled underneath, and on the inside wall of the tire, there was a big bulge. I'm like, ah, that's not good. And in the process, I had opened my wife's door and shut it. I don't remember what I was getting, but so the tire, I said, we got to go to the nearest service station, and you know, there's one up ahead, we'll go up there. So we went to the nearest service station. I think it was maybe 20 kilometers away, and got the tire fixed. And while we're there, my wife said, well, I'm going to grab something from the convenience store there. And she's like, where's my purse? I can't get anything. My purse is gone. Where's my purse? We looked through the van. The purse is gone. And she's like, no, it's got my driver's license. It had all the cash that we owned in there. She said there was about $500 in her purse. I thought $300. There was $500 in her purse. And her camera was in her purse. And she was so sad. She was like, I don't even care about the money or the driver's license and stuff, but the camera has all the pictures from this whole trip. That was before the days of everybody had a cell phone to take pictures. They were all there. And she's like, oh, no. And I said, okay, well, we'll drive back to that driveway. Maybe that's where we lost it. We all get back in the van. We drive back to the driveway. We pull in. Nope, there's no purse. We're sitting there, and I'm like, oh, man, this is not good. And the last time the door opened before that was in the middle of a freeway, like hundreds of kilometers away. So I got in the van. I told everybody, well, we're going to pray, and we're going to head home because I got to get you guys home. You know, I couldn't buy any more meals. We were out of money. You know, we lost the purse. We had to get home that night, so we drove all night. But anyhow, I told them, we're just going to pray because God can do anything. And so I prayed, and I remember feeling this rise up in me, and I was like, in the name of Jesus, this purse is going to return to my wife. Enemy, you are not going to ruin this trip. You are not stealing from us. You steal from us, it has to come back. And somehow, some way, that purse is coming back to my wife. I said, amen. I don't know when we got home, like all night long and the next day. And we drove and got home. And a week later, we received a box in the mail. A box from somewhere in southern BC. We opened it up. Here was my wife's purse. And there was a note in the box. And the note said, we're sorry we had to look in your purse to find an address. Everything is here. We celebrate it because God can do anything. All the cash was there, the camera with all the pictures. And they found the address on my wife's driver's license, which was also there. You see, God can do anything. And we celebrated. We thank God. I'm pretty sure I did a little dance on that one. because God can do anything. And then we took a moment, and I did something that I should do again sometime, but we took this box. I said, this is so amazing what God did. I don't want to forget it. And I took this piece of paper, and I wrote answered prayers, and I taped it on that box and put it up on a side table. And every time God answered a prayer, we wrote it on a note, and we stuck it in that box. I'm going to encourage you, do that at home, because God answers prayers all the time, and we forget to celebrate. It's like, man, I got my prayer list. I need this, I need it. What about celebrating when he answers them? See, that's an act of faith, and that is makes life awesome. So celebrate the little things. Find a way. Find ways to celebrate, and it makes life awesome. You see, we can daily celebrate the creation. We can celebrate also God's mercy and forgiveness. Lamentations 3:22 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's grace and mercy doesn't end. He isn't a God who forgives yesterday, but now he doesn't. His mercies continue. And we can wake up and say, I'm thankful, Lord, that you forgave the mess that I was in the past. And you're here and you love me. Lord, I thank you that your grace brings me out. Titus 2:11 says this, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godliness, living, and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. And verse 14, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You see, his mercy and grace was not an excuse to keep sinning. His mercy and grace that doesn't end is not a price paid so that we can just keep on doing our own things. It is there also for us to be forgiven, yes, and for us to be made free. His grace and mercy tells us he is so awesome. I am sorry for what I've done. I'm going to turn from it. And we walk with him and for him. You see, if you're celebrating his grace as an excuse to keep sinning, you're going to have consequences that you will not like. He is loving and kind and merciful, but there are consequences. It's called sowing and reaping, and it's a principle that God doesn't undo. You know, I love giving people truth, because I found out when you receive and hold on to truth, it changes your life. You know, when we come to our church and we pray that prayer for people to accept Christ, we are believing that they are going to accept him, but also that their life will be turned around for good. I don't just come and preach this so it'll be like, oh, that's nice to hear. I can say a little prayer and keep living deep in sin. That would be a waste of time, and that is not what Jesus did. Jesus forgave people, and then he said, don't do it anymore. There was a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and in Old Testament law, they were supposed to stone her. But they were also supposed to stone the guy who didn't happen to be there. Not sure why that was, but they brought her to Jesus and said, well, this is what it says. What are you going to do? And I said, Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand. And they're all looking, what's he going to do? We got him trapped. He finally looks up and he says, well, any of you who have never sinned, you go ahead, you throw the first stone to kill her. Everybody walked away. He was giving them this clear picture of forgiveness is for everybody. But he didn't stop there. He looked at the lady and said, dear woman, where's the people who accused you? They're gone. And he says, I'm not condemning you either. But he said, go and sin no more. This is the true picture of Jesus' mercy. I forgive you. I'm not going to beat you over the head and crush you, but you get up and you turn from this. Why? Because sowing and reaping will happen even though he's merciful, even though he's loving. There will be an end to it all. There will be a reaping of what we've planted. But I don't want to sit on that too long. But I can just say this for you. Please, if you're struggling with something, if you're continuing in sin, find somebody, get prayer, get free from it. If you've been dabbling with drugs, it will take you down a road you will never get back from. If you've been playing in pornography, it will destroy you. It will wreck your relationships. It doesn't matter how loving and merciful God is. There are things, if we choose to stay in them, they will wipe you out. And He's made a way for you to be free. Please celebrate His grace and mercy and grab on to the power and the love that He has that will take you out. He says, deny your flesh. Follow what God wants. It said that with every temptation, He'll make a way of escape if you want it. The scripture says that God doesn't tempt anybody. It's not His fault. If you have a desire to do wrong things, you can't blame God. But it says that we are tempted when we're drawn away of our own lusts, our own fleshly desires. There is a human nature side that wants to sin. A fallen world, I tell you. It's all Adam's fault, anyhow. But guess what? God wants to take us higher. So I went a little more on that than I need to, but please, 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 go forward. Get freed. Did you know hidden sin is like hidden seeds? You plant enough of those hidden seeds and you think nobody's going to know. Eventually, they all grow. And everybody knows. Let me move on. God made a way for us to be completely forgiven so we could celebrate with Him for all eternity. Isaiah 53:5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. He paid the price. Jesus, once and for all, paid it. And He made a way for you and I to be forgiven and healed. You see, that being healed is talking about our mind, body, soul, and spirit. He wants to make us well. Not just forgiven, but made well. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved, made whole." Remember that, made whole. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. The price has already been paid for you to be free. Why would you walk in sin? Why would you choose to live in something you know He's not okay with? I don't know if a pastor needs to say this. Your parents should be able to say it. But young people, don't sleep around. Get married. It's a sin according to the Bible. I know you're like, the pastor has to say that. Apparently, today people don't know that's a scriptural thing. It's okay. This is a good word. Did you know truth, when you grasp it, is so freeing? Don't go away discouraged. Go away feeling, wow, I'm taking this, Lord. This is awesome. I didn't know this. Did you know scripture says, how are they going to accept the Lord or know it? Unless somebody speaks it, right? And that's, I'm responsible for that. The day's going to come where I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to have to answer, did I give Your word the way You asked? Or did I do, I don't want people to not like me. I'm going to skip that part. People get mad when I talk about that. When it all wraps up, I don't have to stand before politicians, I don't have to stand before anybody here. I have to stand before Him. But you know, one of the main reasons I give truth even when it's hard is because I actually do love you guys. I don't want anybody to live in pain and brokenness because I was too much of a wimp to tell you the truth. Whatever it is, you want to live for God and you want to celebrate every day like it's awesome. You can't really celebrate freely if sin's got a hold of you. So you just give it to Him. Don't feel discouraged here. Don't walk out of here being like, oh, there's no hope. Of course there's hope. Truth brings freedom, and this is the truth I want you to have. Let me finish with this. Maybe you came today And you're like, you know, this stuff is kind of new for me. I've never asked Christ to come and to save me. If that's you, I want you to take this moment today to ask him to forgive you and to give you that new life. And we do that here every single service because this is the beginning of life change. This is the beginning of forgiveness and an eternity where we can celebrate. You see, celebration doesn't end here. It continues in eternity with him. But you need to have received the gift he paid. We receive it simply with words. Scripture says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. So we're going to take a moment to do that today. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me, allowing God to do what he's already paid for. There's the verse in Scripture that says Jesus is standing at the door knocking. And he says if you'll open the door, he'll come in. So he's already paid the price. He's already there, ready to give you everything. But you must invite him in. That's what the prayer is. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't force himself in. So let's pray right now, young and old alike. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Change my life. I choose to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that this morning. That is good.